Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Father Mark Mosa. Father Mosa spent his early adult years trying to figure out where God wanted him. At 27, he finally realized he was already there. 2 years later, he became a Jesuit, and now he finds himself a priest. He currently studies and teaches theology at Fordham University in the Bronx, and occasionally updates his blog, God's Talked, Pursuits of a Hyphenated Priest. We're going inside the pages of Father Mark Moss's book, Already There, Letting God Find You, published St. Anthony Messenger Press. Welcome, Father.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Already There, Letting God Find You. Wonderful book. Very interesting. What motivated you to write it?
My motivation came from my work over the years in youth and young adult ministry. I just noticed along the way that while there were a lot of good spiritual books out there by people like Henry Nouwen and Ronald Rollheiser, Thomas Merton, sort of some of your more popular spiritual writers, there wasn't really anything for me as a young adult that spoke specifically to my experience and spoke specifically to the experience of the young people I was working with. So that was my initial impetus, was to say, okay, what if we write a book, an introduction to the spiritual life, specifically for that audience?
It's an audience that's used to a lot of media input, more so than any of us, say, 35 or 40 years or older, have ever experienced. I mean, everything from television to movies to music, but then also the whole influx of the internet.
Right,
different,
right.
Even handheld devices with apertures and things I can't even spell.
Right. Yeah, media, popular culture, it was very much a part of my experience growing up as well, but there's been real explosion within the last 10 years, I would say, about, you know, that media, the portable media and cell phones and internet and social networking and all that. So that's a relatively new phenomenon. And so kind of putting all that together was part of the book. I've been using, you know, during the course of my ministry with young people, I've been using popular culture all along, songs and movies and things like that. But also incorporated into the book is some discussion of social media and the impact that has on our lives as well.
That social media is something that I think, with the Holy Father imploring us to seek out that new evangelization and all the different social networking that's involved in that, that's some place where God is too, isn't it?
Yeah, that is some place where God is. And I found in my last experience the last 5 or 6 years with blogging and being on Facebook and doing various things like that, that I've been able to sort of connect with a lot of people and to do some evangelization of sorts. But I also sort of have realized some of the challenges and even dangers of it as well. And I talk about that in the book as well, that it can sort of steal away part of our lives, that it can sort of give the illusion that we're kind of connecting with people when in reality, you know, we're not. We're not having real connections. We're not, you know, standing in the same room with somebody and developing a relationship.
Relationship, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. The book I talk about, you know, relationship, and I use the word connection a lot, you know, that spirituality is something that connects us with God and that connects us with other people. And if it doesn't do that, if it becomes just sort of this individual thing, in my mind, that's not really spirituality and not really Christian spirituality for sure.
In your book, you talk about the hope that you can make connections and learning to make connections in new ways and developing those relationships. And through the popular culture, that can be done, can it?
Yes. I use a lot of images from popular culture in the book, and from popular music to movies to television shows. But I say that there's an awareness that one can develop, you know, that one can be on the lookout for God and on the lookout for the ways in which God is trying to speak with us. You know, and God's not limited by specific ways of speaking to us, not limited by churchy things, that God can speak to us through a movie or a popular rock song or through a television show, even when, you know, kind of mysteriously, sometimes that that particular piece of media may not even be particularly religious in any way. It can be something that's, you know, secular or even sometimes, you know, anti-religious in some ways, but can still speak to us about God.
What is it about you two and priests? I know so many in your age group that love the group U2. And I remember them too. I'm not that old.
Right.
But there just seems to be something about music, as you have pointed out, that it can't be dismissed, whether it's rock music or the various forms. There's something sometimes, that hidden message that you're helping us to try to find that connection.
Right. And U2 really rose to popularity when I was in high school. So, you know, they've sort of certainly endured. They're still around. They're still popular. But the sort of initial wave of popularity was in high school. And that's when they were also being very explicitly Christian in a lot of ways, in a way that they've sort of, over the years, kind of gotten away from a little bit more. But that's when I was a young adult, and I was trying to figure out kind of where I was going in my life and how God fit into all that. And I remember being a little confused and, you know, especially because even though I was trying to develop a relationship with God, things weren't always going so perfectly. And that song by U2 that I talk about in the book, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, really spoke to me because it was a statement of faith that, you know, the song was saying that I believe in Christ and I believe in the coming of the kingdom, but at the same time, kind of in this place where I still don't know quite exactly what I'm looking for. And I thought, it's a perfect sort of expression of where I'm at right now, you know, at that time in my life.
The title of the book, though, is Letting God Find You. So often we're going out, we're seeking, seeking, seeking. And how does that connect with what you're trying to express in the book?
I think often we see the way of trying to connect with God as sort of kind of this journey, like climbing up the mountain to see the holy man who's going to offer us the wisdom. And certainly there is that aspect to the spiritual life, but there's also that aspect to the spiritual life where, you know, God speaks to us, you know, in the everyday events of our lives. And I think God is constantly trying to speak to us and in various different ways, you know, and if one way doesn't work, God's trying another way to speak to us. And so God is searching for us. God is trying to be in relationship with us as much, if not more, as we're trying to be in relationship with God.
Again, there's that word relationship. And part of that relationship, of course, in the Trinity, it's a relationship of love. And you talk a lot about love in the book.
Yeah, I talk about a lot about love. I mean, one of the things that when I first started writing the book, one of the initial things that I wrote was this reflection on kind of my experience of falling in love for the first time, you know, and how wonderful that is, but then also how terrible it is when that first love ends and the challenges that come with that we all have this experience in our lives. We have this longing for love and to be in a love relationship with people, and that's what so many songs and movies are about. But at the same time, we experience these experiences of losing love, of painful, of being hurt, and that it can often get in the way of, you know, us fully accepting love in our lives and fully entering into a relationship with people, and so it becomes a challenge as well. So love is this huge theme that we're constantly coming back to, but a lot of times it's one of the things that we have the hardest time with because of the ways in which we've been hurt, because of the fears that come along with it.
Boy, fears and suffering, that's something that in our culture today we seem to be running from. And when you look at the lives of the saints, in so many ways, they ended up having to turn around and face whatever that might be, you know, whether it was physical or in many cases emotional, and to be able to embrace that and not run from it.
Right, and what I talked, one of the things I talk about in the book is my own experience of chronic disease, my own experience of being an epileptic, something which came about when I was like 19 years old. It was something that started when I was a young adult, and my initial reaction was, in fact, to run from it, to say, this can't be, I can't be this person, I can't be the person that's dependent on medication, I can't be the person who has this this illness that's not going to go away. And that's what, that was my initial reaction, and that was my attitude towards it for a very long time. And if I was talking to God about it, I was saying, God, take this away. But then what I sort of realized over time, as, you know, as I became kind of more used to being in that position, was that in some ways it became a blessing. It put me in touch, of course, certainly with my own weakness and my own limitations, but it also gave me an opportunity to connect with other people who were in similar situations. You know, that I can, you know, when I go to a hospital to visit people and encounter people who are suffering, especially from epilepsy and seizures, I can say, you know, I know what that's like because I have the same experience.
We don't know who to turn to in a lot of cases, especially in our culture. I mean, sometimes it can be just trying to find a friend that will listen. But even now, what we understand as friendships have changed quite a bit. Again, going back to those relationships that this particular generation that you're ministering to, their friendships are formed, again, through technology. And that's a tremendous challenge, isn't it? That one-on-one, hearing a voice, looking at a face, that's how we were designed initially.
Yeah, and we're still trying to work that out, I think, because this whole phenomenon is fairly new. I mean, if you think about it, it's become so sort of present in our lives that we almost can sort of assume like it was already there, but it was only 5 to 10 years ago that this was just not our reality. So this is something we're still in the process of working out. And like I said, it has that dual aspect to it. In one way, it does allow us to connect with people, you know, in ways that we were never able to connect with people before. But there are illusions that come with that of connectivity, of thinking you connect with people when you really aren't. And also of being isolated. You know, I see students here at the campus at Fordham where I live and work. And, you know, they're walking along and they're, you know, they're doing their texting as they walk along and almost walking into me much of the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like sort of in this isolated little world. There are people all around, but they're focusing on that little piece of technology in their hands. And I think that's something we're going to have to start addressing more and more, is that how do we sort of break out of those little, you know, to use the term pods, mm-hmm. the iPod. We have to break out of those pods that we're sort of starting to put ourselves in.
Again, to go back to that new evangelization, how do you bring the good news to a world that would give more prominence to what's in their hand and the person they're texting than the person sitting next to them waiting to have that conversation?
And there is a new evangelization that I think we're being challenged to. I think one of the things we've been struggling with over the years is John Paul II liked to talk about the new evangelization, but it was not always clear exactly what he meant by that. And but what I see happening right now is not only there's the challenge of technology, but also there's just the challenge of coming to some sense of one's vocation. So there are a lot of young people I see here at the college and sort of just in my everyday interactions with people who do have a sense of sort of having a mission. So a lot of them are involved in various different types of charities or work with the poor and things like that. But often that's not in the context of any kind of relationship with God. Often it's the case that, you know, they have a sense that they're meant to do this, but they're not asking the question, how is this connected with God and what does this mean about my relationship with God? And I think that's a major part of this new evangelization as well. How do we reach young people who aren't asking the God question?
As you point out, the scriptures within the book are those books, whether it's the prophet Jeremiah or that scene in the garden where God is going out and he's looking for you. Again, that goes back to the central title of the book, Already There, Letting God Find You. He does go out and seek us out, doesn't he?
He does, and I think our challenge as Christians is to help God do that, so and to find the ways in which we can help God to do that, because there are just a lot of people out there who, for one reason or another, God's not even on their radar screen. And for a long time, we've presumed, and I think my book presumes this as well, so this is a limitation in some ways I've realized about my book, that, you know, that people are already asking these questions and they're already searching for God. But there's a significant number of people out there who aren't even aware of that search. It might be something that's, you know, kind of deep down inside them that's sort of being covered over by other things. So we need to find ways to help God to reach them, to help God to communicate to them in whatever way we can, whether it's pointing out, you know, how God can be and something that they can appreciate, you know, whether it is a movie or a song. And that makes that initial connection, that initial place where God can enter into their lives.
Father, when I was reading already there, A Letting God Find You, that what you're doing and trying to help us make new connections is actually you're helping us to see God in those everyday moments, which actually are those encounters with prayer. Whether as you're watching something, looking for how is God speaking to me in this, and by contemplating that, you have the opportunity to enter into prayer.
Right, right. I say to people all the time that there are things that just kind of hit us and move us during the course of the day. For some reason, they get our attention. And what can happen oftentimes is that we can be so busy that we move on from that and we forget that that even happened. So sort of promoting in oneself this sense of awareness, we can say, kind of bookmark that. We can say, okay, this is significant for some reason. I have to rush off to this next thing, but I need to look at this later. And so that does, it becomes the substance of our prayer. And so once we kind of start to have that awareness, we have something to pray about. You know, it's not just sort of the rote prayer. You know, rote prayer is good, but it's not just saying the Our Father all the time. It's also saying, wow, this thing happened in my life that, you know, that I could pray about and sort of talk to God about in terms of our relationship.
You bring out the lives of the saints as great examples in the book too.
Yeah, I think the lives of the saints are crucial, and of course, as a Jesuit, I'm partial to the life of Saint Ignatius. And I think the life of Saint Ignatius is especially good to speak to young adults about, because really his experience of conversion, you know, his experience that led to the writing of the Spiritual Exercises and the founding of the Society of Jesus is a young adult experience. It's something that happened, started in his mid to late 20s. So it wasn't something that kind of was, like many of the saints, it's not something that was there the whole time. It's something that God sort of entered into his life in a very dramatic way in his mid to late 20s. And so I think a lot of young people can relate to that, because that's where they're finding God in a more powerful way. It certainly was my experience too, where I found God in a more powerful way at that age. And so Ignatius is a good model of, you know, being a young adult and being a young adult who's trying to figure out what this relationship with God is. And of course also Ignatius is, in the course of his conversion, inspired by the example of the saints. He's stuck with two books when he's recovering from his injuries. He's stuck with the lives of the saints and the life of Jesus. And so he's reading about the lives of the saints and saying, wow, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could be like St. Dominic or St. Francis? And so we find models like that, you know, that is an impetus to becoming more holy ourselves, to becoming saints ourselves.
It is wonderful that you bring out the example of Ignatius, because when you just look at his life, he embraced the popular culture of his time, very much so. I mean, whether it was the quote-unquote romance novel, not necessarily the way we understand them today, but the more the adventure story, the going out there, the dramatic tellings. And again, as you said, because of circumstances, he found himself unable to grab those forms of media and did lift up those books on the saints, and then found the drama there.
Right, he found the drama there that he would have preferred it at first to find elsewhere, but he found it there as well. And Ignatius really has a healthy sense that you know, that God can work through various different means. He says about helping people to connect with God, he says that we should use the same process that the devil, the evil spirit, uses, that we enter in through their door. So we enter in through the experience that they're having, and then take them out ours. So we enter into kind of wherever it is where they're at, you know, and it's where they're at is often kind of in one way or another a popular culture, and then we take that and use that as a way to lead them to God.
It goes back to connections again, and connecting and trying to understand. And you mentioned the word isolated earlier in the conversation, and I think that's a big difference in living in the world, is not to isolate yourself, but to somehow find solitude. There is a big difference, isn't there, Father?
Oh, yeah, there's a definite difference between isolation and solitude. You can isolate yourself. I mean, the internet is a great sort of facilitator of isolation. You can spend all day kind of sitting there in your computer and doing various things and ultimately kind of doing nothing. Mm-hmm. That I see is sort of an isolation, whereas solitude is something that I think we need more and more these days, is a way to just sort of get away from all that, you know, kind of find quiet time just with you and God. And in my experience in youth ministry, for years, because I started doing youth ministry in the 1980s, for a long time our model of youth ministry was to do these retreats where we spent all our time keeping young people busy, you know, going from one activity to another, from one talk to another. And over the past 10 to 15 years, I've just got more and more of a sense that what young people really need is some kind of experience of that sort of solitude, some experience of silence and reflectiveness. The last thing they need is to go on a retreat where they're just going to be kind of indulged in their busyness even more so than in the same way that they're indulged in their busyness in their everyday lives.
I also love the way that you encourage a deeper reflection on the sacraments and how in some ways, some from different paradigms, we can take them for granted.
Yeah, I think it's very important that, I mean, we do take the sacraments for granted in a certain way, especially those of us who have been brought up Catholic. Mm-hmm. It becomes just something kind of normal. It becomes just kind of going through the motions. So one of the things I speak about, because it is a popular way of speaking about the experience of younger people these days, too, is that people often speak about young people as, you know, yeah, they want to be spiritual, but they don't want to be religious. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, that's not necessarily, because we have had this experience, those of us who've, you know, grown up Catholic, that our experience has been this religious experience. It has been sort of, you know, going through the motions of going to Mass and receiving the sacraments. So if we have an opportunity to focus more, at least for a while, on spirituality, and even to, you know, become in some ways removed from the church for a while, what that engenders in us is a greater appreciation for the sacraments, a greater appreciation for the beauty of the church that we then return to in a new way. We take as our own in a way that we didn't before, because it was handed to us before. And now we do gain a deeper appreciation of what the Eucharist is about and how Christ comes to us in the Eucharist. And the sacrament of confession. And you know, one of the wonderful things I'm finding today is that so many of the people that are coming to confession are younger people. There seems to be a greater desire for it than was certainly the case in my youth.
It is such a beautiful opportunity to receive grace. When you see people who have gone to confession, that just that release, that encounter, it makes a connection. Maybe not so much even with the person that you're speaking to, the priest in the confessional, but there's that connection to the heart that I think that's what is propelling people back to the sacrament.
Yeah, and I was helping out with a student retreat this past weekend, you know, and I spent all the young people on the retreat went to confession, and I spent about 3.5 hours hearing confession, and at the end of that I was exhausted, but it was such a wonderful and powerful experience, and I could see, you know, the change it was making, the effect it was having on the lives of these young people, you know, in the process of doing it. And it was wonderful. And then I, of course, spent the rest of the time with them and kind of companioned them throughout the rest of the retreat. And I think that was a real impetus to their reflection and their encountering of God on the rest of the retreat, for sure.
Well, Father Mark Massa, I think already there, letting God find you. I know we spoke a lot about young people, but I think anyone young at heart and those of us who want to be, as the scriptures call it, like a child, but not necessarily childlike or childish, but we want to return to that simplicity of just having that connection with our loving parent. I think your book is absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I hope that it, I mean, I did, of course, deliberately write it for a young adult audience, and that, of course, is the audience largely that I'm hoping to reach, but I'm also, you know, I'd like it to be able to reach anybody, and I have been told by a number of people who are more my age and older that they've gotten a lot out of the book as well, and I'm really glad for that, because, you know, put a lot of work into it, and my great sort of desire is that it's of help to people. So, you know, I'm not going to restrict that to young adults. I'd be happy for it to be helpful to anyone.
Father, may I ask you for your priestly blessing for our audience?
Yes. May the Word of God, Jesus Christ, which is communicated to us in so many various ways, may that Word reach your hearts and speak to you, and may it be a blessing to you, blessing in the name of our Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. What a wonderful time.
We've been going inside the pages with Father Mark Massa and his book, Already There, Letting God Find You. To learn more about this book, go to sampbooks.org. The website for St. Anthony Messenger Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.